Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. We were getting into it, and I had to cut him off for commercial break. We're getting into this now. Now comes the whole liquidity issue, the amount of money that's being pulled out. It's actually helping or hurting. And we were talking about this at commercial break. I'm joined with Andrew McCreath, CEO, CIO, Forge First Asset Management. Now, Rob, when we were talking to Andrew at commercial break, he mentioned something, and I asked him, are you prepared to have this conversation on air? I have to be respectful. He's a smart man, a lot of thought, a lot of research, well-read. And I want to make sure that, you know, we can share this with our audience. And he said, yeah, let's talk about this. Okay, let's go right into this whole, the next election coming up in the United States. There's a view by many that the Federal Reserve is tilting to one side of the aisle versus the other. What are your thoughts about the Federal Reserve, especially the president and the chair?
Well, just before our break, I expressed the 2 cents worth that as a result of the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States shrinking its QT program, period, let alone by more than expected, they're pumping up the volume a little bit. They're monetizing more of Yellen's debt. And I think part of it is politically motivated because notwithstanding the fact that President Trump had put Chairman Powell in his job in the first place, I believe that Chairman Powell would prefer not to see President Trump reelected. And consequently, I'm thinking that the pumping up of the liquidity is also partially driven by a desire to keep the stock market higher in the hopes of boosting the chances of President Biden being reelected.
So let me try to tie this together. Trump puts Powell in power.
Yes.
And Powell is now wanting to inflate or pump up the stock market and the response heading into the election to give a Biden win. Why would he want someone who didn't put him in power to be in power?
Well, let's face it. I mean, President Trump is very polarizing on both sides of the fence. And it would be my uneducated opinion that Chairman Powell believes that we do need to see a little more redistribution of income between the rich and the poor in the United States so as to not cause incremental dissent in society and create what perhaps, along my thinking, along my speculation, would be greater problems for the U.S. economy on a medium-term basis.
Andrew, you know, we talked about about cuts here and what we had chatted about a year ago and how many cuts we expected. We got some commentary and job market in Canada late last week. Can you give us some commentary on the difference between the cuts in Canada and the U.S.?
I'd love to, but first I've got to make a snide remark. And that is, from my days of being the host of a television show and on BNN Bloomberg for 8-9 years, I received a lot of viewer email that expressed disgust for the inaccuracy of Chinese data. I must admit, when I saw that jobs report in Canada late last week, adding 90,000 jobs in a month, that's a pretty eye-popping number. And I must admit, I thought, I wonder if there's going to be any revisions on a go-forward basis, because I didn't think our economy was that strong. You know, you multiply that number by 10 or 12 and you're getting the U.S. numbers on a sort of a ad hoc basis. So with respect to the Canadian economy, I believe our biggest strength is that we're tied to the hip to the U.S. economy, which is benefiting from that 7% of GDP fiscal stimulus in the States that is targeting infrastructure, capital spending, and productivity enhancing growth. Whereas here in Canada, our deficits, which albeit are much smaller on a percentage of GDP basis, are not targeting medium-term growth and productivity. They're effectively paying today's bills. And again, I'm not trying to get political, but they're investing, whereas we're just spending money. And so consequently, if the US economy does slow down, because that fiscal deficit goes from, 7 to some smaller number next year, and the consumer finally runs out of that excess savings, I think the Canadian economy slips further than the U.S. economy. I do believe Bank of Canada cuts rates before the Fed, cuts rates more often than the Fed, and I believe the Canadian dollar goes lower from here.
Andrew, when you say those kind of comments and you hear a lot of that echoed through the industry, why would anybody want to invest in Canadian companies when there is a lot more choices outside of the Canadian borders, especially if the thesis is a slowdown in that delta of spending? You will have that rippling effect to Canada. What's the benefit of investing in Canadian companies then?
Well, there's a few comments. First off, you can always find diamonds in a rough, whatever country you're looking at. Point number two, when you look at the resource base, it's not about Canada. It's a global situation. And depending upon the resource that you're speaking, be it uranium, gold, copper, oil, gas, there are obviously different supply-demand metrics driving each of those commodities. And some of them have very structurally bullish outlooks as opposed to something less so. So that's point number two. We've got solid commodity stocks in this country. Point number three, you look at the banks, and you know, we don't have time to really debate the merits of the Canadian banks on an absolute, let alone relative basis to, say, U.S. banks. But suffice it to say, the Canadian banks have an oligopoly, they have a benevolent regulator, and as a result, you know, they're not exactly going out of business. And for investors who like the safety and dividends, it's pretty hard to beat a bank. So those would be three examples that would be a bit of a comeback to your legitimate statement, Faisal, with respect to why invest in Canadian companies.
So one thing that I think people don't give Andrew credit on, Rob, is the process of selection of securities. Mm-hmm. Yes, asset allocation is very important. Yes, understanding the risks in the economy and in a per company basis is important. But there's a process that you go through. Now, Andrew, in a matter of just 1 minute, I know it's not enough time to actually go through this in detail, but what's the process that you go through to select the securities, either long or short, that determine what gets into the portfolio, what doesn't get in the portfolio, and why the success has been what it has been over the years? People don't give you enough credit for the amount of preservation of capital while giving you market-like performance. And so I want to understand the process. That's very important. So in about a minute or less, the process that you go through for security selection.
Well, first and foremost, we're all about delivering on our goals, a competitive net return, and to protect capital when markets get rougher. And to do that, we use the North America universe of securities as our opportunity set. We're not just about Canada. And we always have a good size short book, and we use listed put options to further hedge market risk. So when one looks at our process, we integrate those variables into our fundamental analysis, which is focused on free cash flow generation of businesses that we own, or perhaps the opposite for businesses that we short. You know, we are not quantitative based. We're not technically based. We're not macro driven. It's bottom up stock picking, both focused on fundamental analysis and free cash flow, always with a lot of protection. Because, you know, I know from having the pleasure of working with you for years, Faisal, that, you know, you do your homework, you understand all those Greek letters like alpha, beta, delta, all that stuff that, you know, the average investor may not, and hence why it's logical for the average investor to reach out and get sophisticated advice from a sophisticated allocator. But it's all about not losing money. The tortoise beats the hare. You know, in my most recent commentary, which was published on our website earlier this week, I made the comment that when, you know, we may be in a bull market, nobody wants to have any hedging on. But as Warren Buffett said, when the tide goes out, we learn who was wearing a bathing suit and who was not. We always wear a bathing suit in sticking to our discipline and how we structure our portfolios to try and deliver on our goals, Faisal.
And that's the discipline that has given Andrew and the entire team at Forge First the success that they have. Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
We've been joined by Andrew McCreath of Forge First Asset Management. Now we're going to talk about our process to protect your retirement and to actually benefit from the opportunities that are out there. We've got two seminars. When are they and where are they located?
You got it. Calgary seminar coming up June 4th, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House. Join us in Lethbridge on Tuesday, June 18th, 7 p.m. in person at the Sandman Signature Hotel. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
All right. More people feel regret in retirement. We're going to talk about that after the break. Join us on QR Calgary and More Than Money.